Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Spark My Muse, and this is Soul School Lesson 69. You might hear some pounding in the background. We're getting our floor redone because we had a pipe break on Christmas Day, and we're finally getting it redone. So I probably won't edit out any pounding, but if you hear it, you'll know that that's the guy working on our floor. What I'm going to talk about today is conversing with our fear and our desire and discomfort and some really interesting things about just stepping back a little bit and noticing some things. I'm going to give you some permission to breathe deeply and look at things a little bit differently than you usually do. I've noticed in this time of February freedom, as I've called it, Feb freedom, and pulling back from the internet and social media quite a bit more than usual, that I'm able to understand more of my interior world because I'm not jumping from one distraction to the next nearly as much. I can actually understand what's going inside of me, and I can understand some of why I do what I do, which is really a gift. And so I want to share some of that and some of the observations I've come up with, and also invite you into some of this world and giving it a try. There's really only 6 more days of February now, and then March 1st is actually the beginning of Lent. I never celebrated Lent. What I'll be doing for Lent this time is actually doing Atheism for Lent as part of Peter Rollins' course, and where we will encounter some critiques of Christianity, and we'll read those and engage with those. And it's an interesting way of encountering Christianity from the other side. And I think it's a fascinating engagement and a way to open up new ways of seeing things and engaging things. I'm not afraid to do those things and to engage all kinds of different points of view. So I'm really excited to do that. And I will also be continuing to incorporate into my life the things I learned during Feb Freedom, and probably permanently pulling back in many ways from the way I used to engage with social media, because I find it so life-giving to pull away from that constant barrage and the 24-hour news cycle and getting sucked into a lot of the negativity that goes on Facebook and Twitter. What I want to do today is talk about how we sense desire and how we feel it. Fear is often masked as desire, and how we can tell the difference when that's actually happening. So there's different forms of desire, of course. There's the desire we might have for a significant other, or we might have desire to have a contented, fulfilling life, or good things happen to our children or our family members, and we might have this deep longing, long-term desire. Desire isn't good or bad. It's just a matter of whether we have false desires or misguided desires or misleading or unhealthy desires. It's the same with fear. Fear and desire are both human qualities that are completely human qualities. We need fear and we need desire. If we don't have desire, nothing happens. If we don't have fear, we can end up dead. So fear, unless it's false or misguided or unhealthy, is perfectly normal and perfectly human. But it can get out of control, and so can desire. And so when we climb into those emotions that come from our brain predicting and perceiving the world, we can understand more of our workings and understand more of why we do what we do, sometimes just automatically and in a very unexamined way. Stepping back and looking back into our behaviors and why we're doing what we're doing and encountering them a little differently can help us so much in seeing the world in a new way and operating from a different sort of healthier way of being. The kind of desire I'm particularly interested in speaking about today feels this way inside. You notice it when you just want something and you need something. I noticed it the other day for me when I was dropping some children off for my job. And they were really carrying on in the back, and I was so glad to drop them off. And all I wanted to do was just turn on the radio and just distract myself and blow off steam and be like, I'm so glad that's over. And I could not wait to turn on the radio. I couldn't do it soon enough. I could not push that button soon enough and blast some music. And I realized I had this desire, and I was like, and I just felt this pent up need and want. And I thought to myself, for a split second, what if I denied myself this? What would happen? Would I pop? What would happen? And it's in those times when we feel that incredible urge, that incredible desire, we can be blocked from something else that's underneath that desire. If we just ask a few questions and converse with the desire and the big urge, we can maybe discover some really interesting things about ourselves. So we could just ask a few questions of that desire. We can say, what if I didn't do the thing I want to do really badly right now? And when we sense an urgency to our desire, we feel the most urgency, we should ask the most questions. And say, what if I didn't do that? What if I did something completely different? Or what do I really need right now? So did I really need to blast the music? There's nothing wrong with blasting music and blowing off steam. But what if I sat for 5 minutes instead? Or what if I took a 5-minute walk and listened to birds instead? Would that be more satisfying? Would blasting music just distract me until something else came up? Or would just centering myself and kind of coming back into my own body, into my own thoughts, and I would be more contented in the end, would that be better? But the trouble is sometimes when we have these big urges of desire, we immediately act on them without questioning them at all or examining them at all. And if we have a conversation, we can actually come to so much of a better decision, or we can uncover and unearth fears we never knew we had. So maybe my fear in that instance would be, I feel so overwhelmed, I don't know what I'll do, and I just need to kind of get out of here, get out of this mental headspace. And maybe that had a different sort of fear that I wasn't even really realizing. Had I just quick pushed the button and quick blasted some music, I would never get to notice that about myself and my interior world. And one of the best things we can do is interrupt that urge. As we converse with a desire, we're interrupting it and just pushing it back just a little bit. And one of the best ways I've learned to do that is to get back to my breath, which sounds really maybe woo-woo and weird or something. But I was just at the eye doctor yesterday, and for the first time ever, I had a new eye doctor, and he was taking out my contacts, which I found incredibly creepy, and I wanted to take out my own contacts. But he goes, tilt your head back, and I'm going to take out your contacts. Unbeknownst to me, I was holding my breath, and he goes, just breathe, just breathe. And I was like, oh, I guess I held my breath. And then he took out my contacts. And then he was going to put drops in there. Well, he goes, hey, you're holding your breath. Just breathe. Return to your breath. And I realized that I'm holding my breath in a lot of instances when I'm afraid, when I'm tense, when I'm not sure of what the future holds. And in a sense, I'm outside my body. I'm not connected with my body because I'm not even breathing. I've kind of stopped everything. And I wonder how many times in the day I stop breathing because I'm afraid or expectant of something. And I'm completely unaware that I'm cut off from this life breath of mine. And as he brought that into focus for me, I thought, well, I should really converse with my fears. I should really converse with my desires. A great way of doing that, so simple, and I'm going to invite you into this right now. I'm going to give you permission to do this right now. If there's no way to do this, you can fast forward this a few seconds and come back to this later. It's just the 4-4-4 breathing. So do this with me. If you're in the car, especially, if you can just breathe in with me for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds. Breathe in with me right now for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Again, breathe in for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it for 1, 2, 3, 4. Now exhale 1, 2, 3, 4. Again, breathe in for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it for 1, 2, 3, 4. Exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. One more time. Breathe in for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it for 1, 2, 3, 4. Now exhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, hopefully you're in a little bit of a different headspace, a little different of a posture that's more relaxed. and your brain has a little bit slowed down and your body has a little bit slowed down. And you're able to engage in a little bit of a different space to question some of your urgency and some of your desire and some of your fear. So you can ask yourself what's rumbling deep within in these urges. Sometimes it's revealing to look under that desire and deeper, past the object of what you desire, beyond just the present moment. People have often personified desire and temptation as the devil or as spirits. And it's very interesting that that would happen, because there is such a force, a powerful force and life to desire, that it's easy to consider it that powerful as to be personified. It makes perfect sense. So there's this dance between fear and desire. And it's not that we should ever be afraid of fear or afraid of desire, but that we should encounter them. And we should encounter them both boldly, with dialogue and with questioning. This brings up something else I want to consider. There are a lot of times when we should confront our discomforts. The things we often fear are not really suffering, but just mere discomforts. So a lot of times I've noticed in myself, the thing that I'm fearing, when I finally ask myself, what am I fearing? I'm really fearing suffering, but when I ask a bit further, is this suffering really suffering? It's not, it's just discomfort. So a really great example is there's a little boy that I work with, and one of the worst things he can encounter is getting wet. Now, he doesn't have special needs. He's a totally normal kid. So I know with kids on the autism spectrum, like my son, things actually seem to cause them pain that are too wet or too cold or too slippery or things like that. But this child is very normal, and his mother worries a lot, and she is very, very protective of him, and she worries a lot, and so he worries a lot, and he worries that she might worry. And so if he ever gets a few drops of water on his head from the rain, he goes, oh no, I'm wet. And I say, that's okay, you're not going to melt, you're going to be fine. And he goes, no, I'm wet. And I said, well, it was just a few drops, you're going to be okay, don't worry about it, go ahead and buckle up and we'll get going. I thought about myself in those instances. I'm not any different from this little kid, because I'll do the same thing. I'll think, oh, if I don't park in this parking spot right next to the supermarket, right next to the store, I might get wet. Oh no. And I'm really like urgently desiring the closest parking spot and feeling all this urgency. Like, what if I don't get this? I want it. And not examining that strange desire, right? Not examining that strange urgency. What am I afraid of? Well, I'm afraid of suffering. Okay, what kind of suffering? Well, the suffering of getting wet and being inconvenienced and annoyed and maybe feeling wet in the store, and that's terrible. Is that really suffering? Well, no, it's discomfort or inconvenience. Or could I keep a towel in my car? Yes, so I keep a towel in my car. Now, what if I on purpose confronted discomfort and took it on purposefully? What if I purposefully got wet sometimes, or took a walk and got wet? Because I know that when I come home, my home is warm, there's plenty of towels to dry off, and nothing bad has happened because I confronted the fear of suffering with some minor thing that can easily be overcome. I encountered difficulties and discomfort voluntarily as a way to build up resilience in a really simple way, so that if something harder comes along, I've built up all these sort of emotional muscles for discomfort and for minor suffering, so that when something more serious comes along, maybe I can encounter it in a more thoughtful way. And maybe I can have more resiliency when something bigger comes along, and I can be more thoughtful. Maybe I can encounter it with more composure and more courage because I've encountered small difficulties. Some of the challenge in this soul school for you, I hope you'll encounter difficulties voluntarily. Practice this conscious resiliency to encounter discomforts. Because have you ever noticed how we can be grouchy and petulant, like a spoiled child, kind of bitchy and cranky? We'll think, oh, I can't believe I didn't get that parking space. Or, you know, we'll find little ways to be bothered and upset by really, really minor suffering. You couldn't even really consider it suffering. It's just inconveniences or discomforts. And I think these are kind of ways to suffer in a way, illegitimately about things we actually fear. There are things to fear in the world, but it's not these things. And sometimes these things mask over real fears, things we actually can't control. Like, we can't control losing a loved one to sickness or death. We can't control our own mortality or the weather if it's going to be a blizzard. But we can control how grouchy we are that we didn't get that great parking space. And so sometimes it helps to just be the boss of those little discomforts and have victory over them. I hope that you can encounter some of your discomforts head on, and you can converse with your desire and with your fears in a more authentic and full-bodied way in the coming week. And if you find any way that you've confronted your desire or confronted your fear or encountered a discomfort, I'd love to hear your ideas and how you did it. What did you encounter? Was it maybe you took the stairs instead of the escalator or the elevator? Maybe there was some other thing that you find really a pain, but when you actually examined it, it was very minor and you overcame it, and you know, you feel like the boss. I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at contact@sparkmymuse.com or on Twitter, although I'm on Twitter a lot less. I still check it a couple times a day. Twitter @LisaDeLay. And I thank you so much for listening. I'm really grateful to have such an engaged and fantastic audience, and you mean a lot to me. If you'd like the show notes for this, you can go to patreon.com/sparkmymuse. And also you can get information about the event I'm holding this summer. I hope you'll reserve some time in your summer to come out and join me for a really wonderful getaway. Join me next Wednesday for a guest episode, and thank you so much for listening.